The lesson is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, beginning at page 8. This is to be found on page 593 in the Bibles in your pews. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find pleasing words, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The sayings of the wise are like goads, and like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings, which are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed unto judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Versions into Ecclesiastes. It'll be a great relief to know that from next week, when Dick Lucas starts his series, we'll only have to find our way to Luke's Gospel. But if you can be turning back to the passage we've just had read, to page 593, and if you'll insert the hymn sheet, the other side of it, in there, we'll be looking at those extracts as well in a moment. Life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. That's not Mr. Preacher, actually, though it could well be, couldn't it? It was Beatle John Lennon. But it's just why Mr. Preacher's writing, if you've been with us these past 2 weeks and have had the courage to come back again today. It's just why he keeps on leading us up these dead ends. It's just why he's been so negative and at times despairing, because he knows how easily it can happen that life just passes us by and we miss its meaning. He's been writing from a good heart and with a loving purpose, and I promised that today would be good news, not bad, hope, not gloom. So come with me to the end of his book, and let's look and see what he has to say about life, about how not to let it pass us by while we make other plans. And the first thing he has to tell us, which is encouraging, is that we only need look in one place. There's only one place to look. That's verses 11 and 12. Let me read them to you again. The sayings of the wise, and that's a group of people. There were prophets and priests and wise men, and Mr. Preacher is one of the wise men. The sayings of the wise are like goads. Well, if you're anything like me, you've found that the way Mr. Preacher writes, it's a bit like goads, isn't it? They spur us to action. They stick in the memory. They're like thorns. They prick us, sometimes where we don't like to be pricked. And like nails firmly fixed are the collected sayings. Like something reliable. Something you can hang even your life on and know it'll hold. That's what these writings are like. These collected sayings, which he says, are given by one shepherd. That's his way of speaking of God. He's saying, these are God's words. Oh, Mr. Preacher's collected them and arranged them carefully. He's made them pleasant to the ear and kept them true. He's shaped them for us. They're in his handwriting, but they are God's words. They carry God's authority. They convey God's truth, God's verdict on life. God, whom he describes here as a shepherd, someone who's right at hand, a guide who knows the land, knows where life is, and yet he'll speak with finality. This is the answer he's telling us. And he's going to these lengths because he knows that now, inside many of us, there's this actual feeling that that's not really quite what we want. It's very easy to get into the habit, isn't it, of always asking the question. The one thing I don't want is for the question to be answered. Mr. Preacher dreads that we turn out like that. My son, beware of anything beyond these, he says. Whatever you do, don't miss the answer. Of making many books, there's no end. There are endless books on life. Libraries are chock-a-block with the latest ideas on it, aren't they? Look it up under philosophy or sociology or theology and so forth. There'll be a new tome reviewed every week in the Times. Now, he's not saying that they've all got it all wrong. He's just saying you don't have to look through all of those to find it. And anyway, there are limits to how much we can study and master. We'll all say amen to the end of verse 12, won't we? Much study is a weariness of the flesh. And some of you already have got law books and accountancy books and market ideas books and management principle books coming out of your ears. Well, Mr. Preacher wants to say to me, look, I can go through life and master all of those. And if I never get round to the book with the answer, how tragic. The Living Bible translates verse 12 like this. It's got the force of it brilliantly. Be warned, my son, there is no end of opinions ready to be expressed. Studying them can go on forever and be very exhausting. Well, what a relief. There's only one place I need look, he says. I don't have to go beyond this book. That's good news. Here's some more good news. There's only one conclusion to draw. That's his second point. It's verses 13 and 14. There's only one conclusion to be drawn. He really means that. The end of the matter, he says, and it is. There's nothing over the page. All has been heard, we've taken everything into account, and this is the answer in the light of all the evidence. Fear God. Is that all? Yes? Fear God. Now understand what he means. By fear, he doesn't mean be terrified. When the Bible speaks of fearing God like this, it's not meaning that we cringe in abject terror. It's speaking actually of a relationship. It's speaking of awe. It's speaking of respect and of reverence. Oh yes, and gratitude and maybe even affection as well. It means that we put God in his proper place. There's the key to life, says Mr. Preacher. Come and look at those little extracts on the hymn sheet. You'll find they're placed all the way through his book. He keeps on offering glimmers of hope. Now, it's not that these were what he wrote when he got out of bed the right side. It's not as if this was on the sunny day before the depression overtook him. No, what we've got described in these extracts here is the life of faith. Maybe as you look at it, you haven't recognized it yet, but I assure you it's there. Let me show you one of the threads that comes time and time again in these verses. It's the God-givenness of it all. The best thing a man can do is to eat and drink and enjoy what he's earned, and yet I realized even this comes from God. How else could you have anything to eat or enjoy yourself at all? Or again, halfway through the next extract, if God gives a man wealth and property and lets him enjoy them, he should be grateful and enjoy what he's worked for. It is a gift from God. When he's writing like this, it's very different from how he's describing life under the sun, as we've seen it the last 2 weeks. Life which is no longer than you or me. Life which is only the world we can see around us. Now, here's something that is God-given. So no wonder the key to it is fearing God. I'll never find this life unless first I'm right with the only one who gives it. Oh, but you say, I am not sure still that I recognize this as the life of faith. A little bit too earthy, isn't it? The best thing a man can do is to eat and drink and enjoy what he's earned. The best thing anyone can do is to eat and drink and enjoy what he's worked for. Go ahead, eat your food and be happy. Not quite what I expect from the Bible. Well, let me say straight away, this is not a picture of, you know, the simple things in life are best, the good life, as in that television series. It's certainly not eat, drink and be merry for tomorrow you die. At least, not in the sense of, as one person put it, have a blast while you last. No, no. Here's a life of faith because it's God-given and it stems from God the Creator. Here's the picture of contentment, of relishing the good gifts of a good God. Surely, if the God we fear is God the Creator, and at the beginning of his last chapter, Mr. Preacher makes that clear, why then his good gifts are there to be enjoyed? See, his picture of the Christian life is not being religious and in church all the time. It's not 24 hours a day Bible study and hymn singing. It's not asceticism. Oh, there's a serious business to life, and I hope we've come to know Mr. Preacher well enough now to realize that he understands that. But it's also life to be enjoyed, to be lived to the full. It can be easy for some of us as Christians to develop a culture and a mentality that doesn't allow full-blooded enjoyment of life, that frowns slightly on some of the sentiments on these verses on the sheet. And yet Mr. Preacher says, go ahead. The best thing a man can do is to eat and drink and enjoy what he's earned. It's easy to feel guilty, and nothing much more than guilt, at God-given prosperity. And yet Mr. Preacher says, if God gives a man wealth and property and lets him enjoy them, he should be grateful and enjoy what he's worked for. It's easy to think of marriage only in terms of being faithful. And yet when you read that extract, chapter 9, verse 9, what does Mr. Preacher tell me to do? Enjoy life with the woman you love. If he was to interview Claire and myself about our marriage and say, what's it like being married? He doesn't expect my first answer to be, well, we're faithful to one another. Though I'm sure he longs we are. No, he's waiting for me to say, it's great. We love being together. Now, of course, there are cautions to all of this. We'll see them in a moment. But it is good to see them in their proper setting, isn't it? Life is given us to enjoy. God the Creator has given us all things richly to enjoy. Fear him. Treat him properly as that and enjoy the life he's given us. Oh yes. Fear God the Creator. Now that's not the end of the story. It's also fear God the Judge. Come back to chapter 12. Come to the last verse of all. Come to another theme that's echoing through the book. Fear God, keep his commandments, for God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Here's the secret of the remarkable balance that Mr. Preacher has about life. His enjoyment of life as given from God the Creator is balanced and kept just on course by his reverence for God as judge. It stops enjoyment becoming indulgence and spoiling itself. Look at the last extract from chapter 11. Young people, enjoy your youth. Be happy while you're still young. Do what you want to do. Follow your heart's desire. But remember that God is going to judge you for whatever you do. No, that isn't a little line thrown in by the cynic to spoil all the rest. Of course not. All that God the judge wants to remove from life is its hollowness. This is just a reminder of it while I'm enjoying myself. Don't go into the land of hollowness. Oh, we all envy the playboy from time to time, but in the cold light of day, you don't really want to swap places with him, do you? We know he's hollow. Joy, Derek Kidner wrote in his commentary on this particular verse, joy was created to dance with goodness. Isn't that a brilliant picture? It's the one way to stop joy tripping over its partner's feet. You see, enjoy youth. Live life to the full. Oh, but not at the expense of forgetting to keep God's commandments. Enjoy the riches God's given you. But not at the expense of forgetting to keep God's commandments. Now, you see, it saves my enjoyment becoming indulgence. It saves my expectations becoming too great. It stops me being dependent on this life. Mr. Preacher has not found a life where every question is answered and every problem has been removed. Death still invades it. You'll notice, if you've read these extracts in detail, that it's always a short life. Look at the chapter 5, 1. Eat, drink, enjoy what he's worked for during the short life that God has given him. Or the last sentence, it's a gift from God. Since God has allowed him to be happy, he will not worry too much about how short life is. Hasn't got any longer. He knows not to pin all his hopes on the riches and the food and the wife. They'll all come to an end with him. But he's fearing God. God the judge, God the one who, when all is ended, is still bringing everything into account. God the one who speaks of a new world. Why, if he's a judge after time is finished, there must be another world. That's where Mr. Preacher's hopes are. No, he's not suggesting that now life has got no injustices. He's not saying become a Christian and everything will be okay. It won't necessarily under the sun. The time when things will be sorted out, when they'll be seen to be what they truly are, is not under the sun. It's the time of that very last verse of all. Fear God, keep his commandments, for God will bring every deed into judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Then in that time and in that world, everything will be put right. You know the way people often ask, how can you believe in a loving God and a judgment? The more you think about it, don't you want to answer time and time again? Tell me, how can't I? How can you believe in a good God who never brings things to account and sorts them out? With the world we live in, with its injustice and immorality, that would mean that nothing matters. Do you see the balance Mr. Preacher's finding? He can live life to the full, and yet he's still living for another world. The next world. That's where his hopes are pinned. That's where he knows the truth will out. That's where accountability comes. You'll see it even more vividly in Jesus himself. Why, he knew how to enjoy life. Everyone was asking him to their dinner parties. He is the one who kept the marriage feast going, you remember, at Cana? And yet, who could move more easily between enjoying this life and always living for the next, always pointing us to the next? Now, what Mr. Preacher has in black and white, you'll see from the life of Jesus in glorious technicolor when we come on to the next series. But here Mr. Preacher's saying, look, we can live life to the full and yet know its fickleness. Fear God? Yes, there's the secret. Or you can fear God and still get the sack. Or you can fear God and still face tragedy in the family. You can fear God and I'll still find myself in a dead-end job. I can fear God and still grow old. But I can do that happily. It's hard for some people, isn't it? Look at that last of extracts. It's got the balance brilliantly. Young people, enjoy your youth, be happy while you're still young. Then at the end, don't let anything worry you or cause you pain. You aren't going to be young very long. That's it, isn't it? You see, he's got reality and vitality together. Now, there are too many people who live with only one of those. You know, we've met them, haven't we? They're all reality and no vitality. They know they're not going to be young very long, so they're old before their time, and they never know how to enjoy youth. That's sad. And then there are those who are vitality and no reality. They're 40 and they're playing at the 20-year-old swinger. That's tragic. And Mr. Preacher's got both. Mr. Preacher's found life, and he says, the key is fear God. If you remove the Creator, if you remove the judge, what have you got left? Only life under the sun. The 20th century in the West has removed the Creator, has removed the judge. Look at its literature. The despairing philosophy of a Camus or a Sartre. Look at its theatre, the theatre of the absurd, the waiting for Godot. What's it saying? Only what Mr. Preacher's saying. Under the sun, it's meaningless. It's never read him to find the key to life. The tragedy, of course, is that the church has done the same thing. We've abandoned the Creator. We've abandoned the judge. We're now irrelevant. So often we're left either like the world with no answers. Have you not been to those churches? Endless questions, no answers. Or the answers are glib. They pretend you can find them all under the sun. Be a Christian and everything will be fine. Now, Mr. Preacher's got balance, hasn't he? He's got hope and realism. Only one way to have it. Only one conclusion to be drawn as you study life. Fear God. Only one place you need look. Don't go beyond this book. Only one conclusion to be drawn. Fear God. Only one thing to do. The end of the matter. Chapter 12, verse 13. All has been heard. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Or more accurately, this is the whole of man. This is all there is. There's only one thing to do, whoever I am, wherever I am, fear God. And do it now, says Mr. Preacher. Look back to the beginning of this last chapter, will you? See his urgency that I grab life. Verse 1 of chapter 12, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, look at the verse again. Funnily enough, what he's doing in this chapter is to reverse our common way of thinking. The non-Christian world says, well, okay, there may be something in this, but I'm going to live now. When I'm old, that may be the time to start getting religious and be Christian. Mr. Preacher says, don't be stupid. He turns it right on his head. He says, why wait until you're so old that you can't enjoy it to find out what life's about? Can you think of anything more silly? John Lennon said, life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. The day after he was murdered, Yoko Ono, his wife, said this, we talked about living until we were 80. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. What could be more tragic than to get to the end of life and not discover its meaning? Now, while there's life, while you're young, well, while there's some life left, fear God. It's the only thing to do. You're not yet a Christian? Fear God, says Mr. Preacher. You won't find the answer anywhere else. You are a Christian? Fear God, says Mr. Preacher. Keep fearing Him. Oh, of course the grass looks greener the other side of the fence. It always does look it, but it isn't. You remember the question He gave us at the beginning? What gain do you get by all the toil at which you toil under the sun? Well, here's His answer if you'll fear God. You get as much joy as it's possible in this life. As much joy as the quirks of life will allow you. You get all the joy of the life of the world to come. You get the living God Himself. There's no more to be had. Fear God. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we ask that You'd give Your mercy to each one of us. And by Your grace, may we, everyone, fear God and live. Amen.